A little Sfas Emes for Pesach. For those who are less familiar, the Sfas Emes was the second Ger Rebbe, raised by his grandfather, the Chiddush Erim. The Chiddush Erim had a very tragic life. 12 of his 13 children died in childhood. Only one of his children, imagine 12 of his 13 children, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Erim. Chiddush Erim, Rim stands for Yitzchak Meir, Itcha Meir. Yitzchak Meir, the family's original name was Rottenberg. It was changed because of trouble with the government to Alter. So the Chiddush Erim lost 12 of his 13 children when they were children. Only one of his children made him into adulthood, a son by the name of Avram Mordechai. And even that son was very sickly his whole life. And he also passed away relatively young. He didn't make it past young adulthood. But he was blessed with a child who was known, of course, as the Sfas Emes. Right? His name was, the name he was given when he was born was Yehuda Leibish, Yehuda Leib. If you open up the Sfas Emes, like the one I have in front of me, it says here, Yehuda Aryeh Leib. Because when he married a young woman whose father's name was also Yehuda Leib, so they added the name Aryeh. But his grandfather, Chiddush Erim, called him Leibla. So the Sfas Emes was known to his grandfather. Yehuda Aryeh Leib, Yehuda Leib originally, born in 1847, passed away in 1905. And the Ger Rebbe was one of the biggest in Poland in his time. I'll just tell you one story that I like to think about. Again, think about it. He was orphaned at a young age. He was 8 years old when his father passed away. His mother had already passed away. And he was being raised by his grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Erim. So when he was just a baby, before his father passed away, when he was still just a child in his cradle, so the Divrei Chaim came to visit. And the Chiddush Erim said, after taking care of the Divrei Chaim and treating him so kindly, as the Divrei Chaim was getting to leave, the Chiddush Erim said, "There's just one more thing I wanna give you. Give me, you've given me so much. What could you possibly give me?" He says, "I want to just show you a chiddush." Okay, chiddush in Torah, that's good. Part ways on a word of Torah, that's good. So he takes him into the back room, where little Leibola, Yehuda Leib, Sfas Emes as a baby, is sitting in his crib, in his cradle. And he points to his grandson and he says, "You see this? This is a chiddush. You see this baby? This baby's going to be a big chiddush." And he was. Sfas Emes was a big chiddush. Sfas Emes was a very big chiddush. Okay, so let's try to learn some of the first Torahs in the Sfas Emes on Pesach. You can see on the page in front of you, it says, Tav Resh Lamed Aleph. Tav Resh Lamed Aleph would be the year 1871. Okay, and around the year 1870, the Sfas Emes, who was very young at the time, again, he was born in 1847. So how old was he in 1871? In his 20s. Right? Now, when his grandfather passed away, he was like even closer to 20. And the Chassidim wanted him to become the Rebbe. And the Chiddush Erim was a Zaken B'Yisrael, passed away. They wanted his young grandson, who was 20 years old, to become the Rebbe. For about four or five years, the Sfas Emes refused to take on the mantle of leadership. And then eventually, by the time he was about 24, 25, they finally pressured him into it, and he was makabel upon himself the nesius. Okay? But he was young. He was in the early 20s. So this is a Torah. These are his Torahs. It's arranged, as many of the Polish Sefer Chassidus are, arranged by the dates. Okay, so Tav Resh Lamed Aleph, again, is 1871. Okay, let's take a look inside. You'll see that the Sfas Emes is not an easy Sefer to learn. And I didn't pick it to give us a hard time, but I picked it because I want to show you that it is possible. Not going to pretend that I fully understand anything that he says. But it is possible to develop the skills to be able to learn such a sefer. Takes a lot of work, takes a lot of training, takes a lot of encouragement, and asking people who have a little more information to help you. There's certain svarim that I would recommend as almost a hakdama to Sfas Emes. Like I mentioned in the past, the Or Gedaliah from Rav Gedaliah Shor is a very important sefer to learn as a hakdama to Sfas Emes because it's built a lot on the Torah of the Sfas Emes. And with that, we begin. And shkaraf to Adam, who kind of gave me this idea. And thanks for joining us. Okay, let's take a look. Milel Aleph, the first piece. Okay, now again, you have to decipher. It's a code. The Sfas Emes is written mamish, mamish, shorthand, which means you have to understand, you have to see a lot of Sfas Emes just to get the sense of the style. And you have to know the hints that he's hinting to. You have to know the gemaras that he's referencing. And you have to know the basic principle that almost the entire sefer revolves around. So let me tell you what that is. If I was asked, and again, I'm no great scholar of the Sfas Emes. But I would say that if I had to say what the Sfas Emes is, you know, someone said to you, like, tell me, you know, what is the Kedushas Levi? What's he about? What was the Berditchever about? We have a sense, having learned the Sefer throughout the year, we have a sense of what his style is. So someone were to ask me, what in one sentence, what is the Sfas Emes? What does the whole Sefer revolve around? Kimat, every Torah revolves around a certain Nekuda. Right, ironic that I picked that word, because that's exactly what it's about. The Sfas Emes is always about recognizing the Nekuda Pnimis within everything. Right, try to see deeply beyond the surface. He says it over and over and over again. Trying to uncover, to megala that Nekuda Pnimis within everything. I've told you in the past from the Sfas Emes. He says, the pshat in what we say in Kriya Shema, Lo sasur achri levavchem v'achri einechem, don't stray after your eyes, is not only a warning to guard our eyes from seeing inappropriate images, right, or people who are not dressed in the ways of tznius, but lo sasur achri levavchem v'achri einechem means don't be deceived, right, by the simplicity of what your heart tells you, what your eyes tell you. Don't be fooled by what you see. In one sentence, that vart from the Sfas Emes captures the entire sefer. Try to find the Nekuda Pnimis in everything. It's very similar to the first Torah that Rabbi Nachman has in Lakuta Moran. Rabbi Nachman begins that a person has to strive to recognize the Seichel of Kol Davar, to recognize the Seichel. It means the Neshama of everything, the intellect. The Maharal uses the word Seichel to mean Neshama. Rabbi Nachman says, try to recognize the Neshama. Look beneath the surface. The whole Sefer Sfas Emes is about being Megala that Nekuda Pnimis. Okay? So with this lengthy introduction, let's try to learn inside. Again, you'll see it's a code. You'll see very quickly. Okay, Leil Aleph, this is from the first night of Pesach, 1871. Bechol dor vador, chayiv adam liros es atzmo, v'chulu. V'acher kach amar, v'osanu hotzi. Okay, so he already asked the question. What's the question? The question is, in every generation, we know from the Haggadah, we know from the Mishnah, in Pesachim, Kofta Zayin, in every generation a person needs to see himself what? Now, like this is why this Sfas Emes is hard, because he throws in a v'chulu and he takes out the main part. You don't even know what he's talking about. You have to know what he's talking about. B'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam liro ses atzmo, nu, finish the sentence. Ki'ilu hu yotzim Mitzrayim. As if he left Mitzrayim. So chaver, tell me, what's the taich of as if? Pretend you were there because you weren't actually there. Right? It's as if you weren't there. Were we physically there? I was born in 1981 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I wasn't born and I never left Mitzrayim. So the Maimer Chazal begins and we say it in the Haggadah. And every generation you need to picture yourself as if you were there. But how do we end this? How do we end this statement? The Haggadah goes on and the Haggadah says, "V'achar kach amar v'osanu hotzi." But we were taken out. We were taken out as mashma that what? That we really were there. So which is it? Is it an imaginary game that we're playing to pretend we were there, ki'ilu, as if I was there, because physically, biologically, I wasn't there? At the same time, we're also saying that Hashem took us out. Right? Obviously, there's many ways, and you can already think of some of the answers that you could suggest. But Sfas Emes, in his unique style, explains as follows. V'nira ki al yidei emuna, sheyesh yitzias Mitzrayim l'chol dor v'dor, nizgala zeh. Period. That through, this is also a big theme in Sfas Emes, that through the belief in an idea, it becomes true. Or maybe said better, through the belief in an idea, the truth of the idea is revealed. The truth was always there. But by believing in it when you don't yet understand it, it's megala itself and you come to see it with open eyes. Again, that's part of this idea of looking beneath the surface. So says the Sfas Emes. Again, al yidei emuna sheyesh yitzias Mitzrayim l'chol dor v'dor. By believing that there's a Yetzias Mitzrayim that's taking place in every generation. Or to quote from the Baal HaTanya, as he writes in Tanya, every single day of our lives. Whereas the Baal HaTanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in his writings in Halacha, a person has to see himself, ki'ilu, hu, ata, as if he, right now, is going out of Mitzrayim. Because we are experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim in every generation. So by believing in my place within Yetzias Mitzrayim, it becomes reality. What does that mean? Still very deep. We still don't understand anything. So he quotes the Maharal. And the Sfas Emes tries to explain the Maharal. He thinks that what he's trying to say is what the Maharal already was saying several hundred years before. The Maharal lived 350 years before the Sfas Emes. So the Maharal says, Ki bechlal hayakol echad biyetzias Mitzrayim. Rakhayiv liros ki ilu yotza beprat. Of course, on a klal level, on a national level, right, we were there. We were there in the sense that the Jewish people were there, and that's who we are. We are the Jewish people. So in a global sense, of course we were there. Right? That's what the Maharal is writing here. The fact that my great-great-great-great-grandfather was in Mitzrayim, right? Well, within my great-great-grandfather is the possibility of me. My great-great-great-grandfather would give birth to my grandfather, to my great, right? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until it got down to me. The same way that we've given the mashal in the past, how an apple seed contains within it the potential to produce an apple tree with more apples, with more seeds, and all of that was packed into that initial little seed. So hidden somewhere within the Klal Yisrael that was physically, actually in Mitzrayim, historically in Mitzrayim, right? Bechlal, there's no question, in a global sense, I was there. On the Seder night, the goal is, what says the Maharal? Rachayev lios ki'ilu yotzel beprat. But the goal is not, says the Maharal in his Sefer Gvuras Hashem, to see myself generally there, but the goal is to what? Is to try to find myself specifically there. Where was I actually there? And now here's where, you know, physical reality and spiritual reality conflict. Physical reality, I wasn't there. Spiritual reality, I wasn't just historically there because the Jewish people were there. Spiritual reality means that I mamish was there. I was mamish there. Now, that's hard for me to believe because, like I told you, I was born in 1981 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So what does that mean I was there? What does it mean to be there? But by having emuna that I was there, it then becomes proven to me that it's true. How does that work? Let's keep reading. V'yesh lomar gan kein kenizk leil. Says the Sfas Emes, this Maharal from 350 years before I even lived is hinting to exactly what I'm trying to express. Sha'al yidei emuna nichnas l'socha klal. U'bevadai b'chlal ha'yitzias Mitzrayim l'nekuda ha'yisraelis. In a very spiritual and deep way, I was really there. Not just, again, that my great-great-great-grandfather, right, would one day give birth to his son, to his grandson, to his great-grandson, until it trickles down to me. But when I attach myself to something called Nishmas Yisrael, to what he refers to as the Nekuda Yisraelis, when I attach myself, like those of us who were here yesterday, we spoke about the all-encompassing neshama of the Jewish people, each of us, again, being different parts of that neshama, some of us being heads and hearts and legs and arms and different parts. The same way the body is made up of different parts, but there's one unit called the body. So the neshama is also, there's something called the Nekuda Yisraelis. That central point that defines every one of us, and we're all exactly the same there. On the surface, we're different. We look different, we think different, we act different. Some of us are doing better in our Avodas Hashem. Some of us have a lot of work to do. We all have a lot of work to do. Some of us are on a revealed level. On a concealed level, we're all mamish equal. We all have that Nekuda Yisraelis. And that Nekuda Yisraelis, the birth of the Jewish people, took place where? In Mitzrayim. And from that Nekuda, which is not just my ancestors, but is mamish me, from that Nekuda, Misham Nimsha Chaim L'chol Ish Yisrael. My life today is exactly a hamshacha, a continuation of that spark of a Jew that was born in Mitzrayim. Right? That's not, you know, it's not just a historical reality. That's a spiritual reality that is as real today as it was then. Rak al yidei emuna ba'in l'zeh. But the only way to come to this, again, because we live in a physical body, and we live in a physical world, and we live within time that has an order to it, we live within a historical reality, that again, we weren't slaves in Egypt. So the only way I can tap into what? Into the neshama of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and to attach myself there, and then to mamish experience Yisrael Mitzrayim, is to what? Is to just believe it. Is to tap into it from a level of neshama. Emuna. The most basic expression of the neshama is called what? Emuna. So therefore, when a Jew reconnects himself to the Nekuda Yisraelis, be'emuna, then he starts to really see how Yisrael Mitzrayim actually is playing out in his daily life. Let's keep reading. Va'achar shiroa atzmo ki'ilu yatza. And when he tries, again, what was our opening question? The opening question was, on the one hand, ki'ilu, we're pretending we were there. On the other hand, O son of Hotzi, we really were there. So which is it? So Sfas Emes says, by closing your eyes and transporting yourself there, even though there's a part of you that says it's only a ki'ilu, I wasn't really there, because my body wasn't there. But when you realize that I was really there, because I have a muna, I attach myself to the neshama, to the nekuda Yisraelis, and I attach myself to the spiritual presence of Klal Yisrael there, when a person does that, again, let's read the words, Va'acha sheroa atzmo ki'ilu yatza, when he pictures, and he has a muna that he was taken out, V'yodeya umamin, ki gam ha'ara sheyesh lo, lo haisa lula yitzias Mitzrayim, and he realizes that I would not exist, my neshama could not be had Klal Yisrael not been taken out of Mitzrayim, right, that me as I am today has a very real Sheikhas to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Al Yedei Zeh Nisgalo Lo Shirova Eich Yotze Be'emes. When you realize that, when you can get past the surface of, again, a physical body being born in the in our century, in the 20th century. Yeah, you guys were, when were you guys born? How old are you?
1997.
Okay, good. So we were all born in the 20th century. Thank God no one here was born in the year 2000. That would make me really old. Okay, so we're all born in the 20th century, yeah? So we have to get past that physical reality, have a muna that my neshama mamish was in Mitzrayim, not just like the Maral said, bichlal, but bifrat, and then that becomes my reality. Now I'm living a spiritual reality. And then I'm experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim when? In 2018. Not I'm remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim of old, I'm mamish reliving Yetzias Mitzrayim today. So what does that mean? Let's see. V'chein ha-perish b'sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this is what we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Afilu kulanu chachamim. Remember the sentence? Kulanu nevonim. Everyone's a chacham, a navon, a tzaddik. Yeah, you're great. You're the biggest Talmud chacham ever. You still need what? Chayev aleinu mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yisiyas Mitzrayim. No matter how well you know the story, you still have to what? You have to tell the story. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. With all of its details. Why? Ki afshu chacham davuk b'Hashem chayim. Because you'll say, I'm a chacham, I'm attached to the source of life, I'm clinging to Hashem. Yes, we say, chacham, do you understand where your chiyus comes from? You say, I'm very spiritually connected. Do you understand where spirituality was born? We say to the chacham, yesh lo leida, ki kol zeh al yedei yesiyas Mitzrayim she'emes kein. We tell the chacham, realize that everything you are today, all the chiyus you have today, is only because of yetzias Mitzrayim. And tell him that not because, you know, it's theoretically true, but because Be'emes Kein, because it is true. Your mom is living Yetzias Mitzrayim today. Rakshitzarech levarer zel yedei amuna. But it takes tremendous amuna to realize that, to recognize that, to see the beginning of Golas in Egypt and the beginning of redemption from Egypt is still playing itself out every single day of our life. V'hu ha-sipur. And that's what the word sipur means, he says. Lashon biror v'giloi mifureshes. How does Sipur mean revelation, clarification, be mevarer, to select, to clarify? Where do you see that in the word Sipur? What's he hinting to? What'd you say? Sapir? Right? It means to illuminate. Sviras ha'omer. Sviras ha'omer, sapir, like a sapphire, like a shining gem. Yeah? Sapir, and he's from Seder Achaim HaKadosh brings this on, who's Svartem Lachem. We learned it last year. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, Svartem Lachem means what? That you, during Sfiras HaOmer, you should illuminate yourself. Svartem Lachem. Make yourself shine. So says the Sfas Emes, no matter how big of a Chacham you are, and no matter how much you think you're in this world, just remember where you come from. You mamish come, your chiyos is hamshacha from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Look at these next words, they're beautiful. Ki b'chol dor, yesh Yetzias Mitzrayim l'fi inyan hador. Because in every generation, There are new boundaries, there are new borders, there are new walls we're trying to free ourselves from. There are new addictions, there are new struggles. And the goal is in each generation, as the Noam Elimelech already wrote in Parshas Noach, every generation has its unique mitzvah. Noam Elimelech said the mitzvah of our generation, what he wrote in his time, was tzitzis. Al the Tzaddikim said that the mitzvah of our time is emunah. And Sivah Shalom said the mitzvah of our time is chinuch habanim, educating our children in a crazy world. So there's a mitzvah for every generation. There's also a Yetzias Mitzrayim that has to take place in every generation. So says the Sfas Emes, when you believe that, then you experience your Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're able to experience, again, not just in a general sense, but in a very personal way. V'chol zeh haye b'shas Yetzias Mitzrayim. And all of the Yetzios of all of the generations were already there, again, in a microcosmic, you know, form in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meaning exactly how we're going to get out of 2018 to bring the Gula Shlema, we're not exactly sure. But it was already programmed into the Yetzias Mitzrayim of old. Which means if I can reconnect myself to MS to there, I can begin to expand my personal Yetziah, the Yetziah of our generation, and mamash bring the Mashiach. And therefore, to whatever degree, right, that's the Ki'ilu. The Ki'ilu is I wasn't physically there. It's hard for me to go back to there. It's hard for me to picture what it was like to be there. But that's what my body tells me. My neshama has a much more natural ability to have a muna that I was there. Not just Bechlal, but Befrat. And then, in accordance with my Emunah that I was there, Nizgal Bechina Zu, it'll then uncover itself, it'll reveal itself. Umargish mi yesias mitzrayim shal ata, and you'll be able to feel and experience be'emes, with open eyes, the miracles that are unfolding in your life, the yesias mitzrayim that you're experiencing. V'yachol etzeis kol echan mi meitzar shalom. And every individual will then be able to free himself from whatever your galus is, whatever your meitzar is, whatever's holding you back from reaching your potential in this world. Okay, Ad Kan, the first piece. Told you, there's a lot there. You got it? Yeah. So it's amazing. We're trying to explain what's the ke'ilu. On the one hand, it's a ke'ilu. On the other hand, it's osanu. It's mamashas. And the way that we get there is from emes to amunah. There's always a link between emes and amunah. Right? Through the amunah, we're able to mezgala the emes. And the emes is that we were there, mamash. The Maharal said, not bechlal, but to see myself befrat. How is the chiyas in my life today? How is my ability to overcome all of my struggles? Mamish. Not theoretically. Mamish, rooted in Yetzias Mitzrayim. How is the ticket to finding the exit from for our generation, from whatever's holding us back, as a tzibur, as a klal Yisrael, as a door? Right? How do we find that spark, that nekuda, in Mitzrayim? And how do I take it through that amunah and make it a reality today? Very, very deep idea. Again, reminding you, the Sfas Emes was about 23, 24 years old when he was sharing these ideas. Okay, but you'll see. You'll learn his stuff. Okay? Try another piece? Yeah? Okay. Again, you'll see thematically, you'll see how he develops the ideas. B'sheilas ha-chacham. The Chacham, we know of the four sons at the Seder night. The Chacham says, Ma ha-eidus va-achukim. Tell me, explain to me. Chacham is not being cynical like his, you know, buddy, his brother, maybe, the Rasha who's asking when he's not really looking for answers. He's poking fun. His tone is one of mockery. The Chacham really wants to understand. So he says, please teach me. What are all these laws? What are all of these chukim? Explain to me the chukim. Explain to me the edus. Explain to me the rules. So says the Sfas Emes, I have a very simple question for you. How do you explain chukim? The very definition of a chok, we just had Parshas Para. The very definition of a chok is what? Is a mitzvah that we don't understand. Zos chukas ha-Torah. Introducing the ultimate mitzvah we don't understand, paraduma. So what's the Chacham asking? Please, I want to understand the chukim also. You can't understand chukim. Chukim are not meant to be understood. Mishpatim are laws of Torah that have a rational component to them. I remind you that mishpatim also are not really rational. We would say the reason we don't kill is because it makes sense. Rav Chaim Brisker would tell you that that's not true. We don't kill because God said don't kill. What do you mean? I could have figured that out on my own. Not really. What do you mean? It makes sense to me. Society can figure that out on their own. No, not really. Had the Torah not stated it? And the reason I don't kill is not because it's inhumane. It's wrong. I don't kill because God said don't kill. It's a deep idea. It's important to realize even mishpatim have an element of chok to them. We don't really understand even the most logical principles of living. Like don't steal, don't kill. But certainly the chukim, like the paraduma, with its paradoxical properties, makes some people tameh, makes some people tar, that we really don't understand. So what is the chacham asking? If he's such a chacham, he should know that chukim don't have an explanation. Unless we don't know that chukim do have an explanation. So let's see. How could the chacham ask for an explanation of the chukim? We don't understand chukim. However, says the Sfas Emes, a pasuk that we're familiar with. The pasuk says, "Magid dvarav." It's a pasuk in Tehillim. "Magid dvarav liYaakov, chukav umishpatav liYisrael." So, first of all, you always have to think: what's Yaakov? What's Yisrael? Which is a higher name, Yaakov or Yisrael? Which is a name of a Jew when he's in a good place, and which is the name of a Jew when he's not as good a place? Which is which? What do you think?
Yisrael is in a good place.
Yisrael is in a good place. Yisrael is the lashon of srara, the lashon of authority, of power, of nobility. Right? Yisrael. Yisrael, the Sfarim says, Osio is li rosh. When a Jew is up top. Yaakov is ekev. Yaakov is the heel. When a Jew is kind of down low. Ramban writes this. Not exactly what those proves, but Ramban says, Yaakov is a name more of galus. Yisrael is more of a name of a geula. So Magid Dvarav Liyakov, But chukav u'mishpatav liYisrael, that a Yisrael can even understand chukim. A perfected Jew, a Jew who's on a high level, we'll see what it means to be on a high level, can even begin to understand chukim. How do you understand chukim? I thought chukim defy logic. Shebnei Yisrael yodin tam gam b'chukah. That a Yisrael can also understand the chukim. What do you mean? I thought chukim can't be understood. They're not rational. Shatnes doesn't make sense. What's that based on? What's God's thing with linen and wool? It's so weird. Paraduma. We don't understand the chukim. So says the Sfas Emes, it's not true. Bnei Yisrael can understand the chukim, and the Chacham, on the exalted Seder night, says, I want to understand the chukim. How do you come to understand the chukim? So says the Sfas Emes, I'll tell you. V'hu al yedei shema min v'osa chok be'emes, af b'li hargash asatam. You know how you come? Again, it's the mamish, the same yesod as the last piece. How does one come to understand the chok, which on the surface is crazy, makes no sense? How do I peel back all of those layers that are hiding the secret of the chok? How do I do it? How do I come to the emes of the chok? And the answer is emuna. When I show a willingness to be emes, follow laws that I believe are given to me by God, even though I don't have a clue what I'm doing, it's mamish the secret, as many others far develop. The Yismach Yisrael, the Rebbe of Alexander, says this is the sod of what? Of Nasa v'Nishma. Nasa, I'm going to do it. I don't understand. I don't have any clue what I'm doing. But I know that if I do it with honesty and sincerity and emuna, then eventually what? I'll come to Nishma. I'll come to hear it. I'll come to Nishma means to understand it. Through the Nasa, through the commitment to do it when I don't get it, when it doesn't taste like anything, I come to taste the beauty of it, the sweetness of it. And Yismach Yisrael says, that's the pshat in the pasuk that we say before Tkiyah Shofar, Tuv tam v'da'as lamdeni. Tuv tam v'da'as lamdeni. Hashem, you've taught me the tam, the taste of the mitzvos. Tuv tam, the good taste. Right? Tam also means obviously the reason, the rationale behind it. The reason for the mitzvos, lamdeni, you've taught me, you've revealed to me. Why? Remember the end of the pasuk? Ki b'mitzvosecha ha'amanti. Because I did the mitzvos with emunah. When a Jew with emunah does things that he doesn't understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to pay you back from the Amunah. You come again, like we said before, to the Emes. I'll reveal to you the Tam. When you, so to speak, ingested my mitzvos, you'll see why I'm using that mashal in a second. Torascha besoch me'ai, as the Pasuk says. Right? The Torah of my innards. When you swallowed, right? What? The Ostrovser, there was a tzaddik from Poland named the Ostrovser. The Ostrovser was mamash HaKadosh. He fasted day and night for like 40 years. He was a genius. Mamisha, a super genius. The Ostrovser writes, why do we knock out the Rasha's teeth? The problem with the Rasha is he's only willing to do things after he understands it. This is from the Ostrovser in the Sefer Meir Einei Chachamim. He says, the Rasha says, I wanna taste it before I'm gonna do it. The Chacham, who we're describing here, tastes it because of his willingness to do it before he understood it. He was a Nas of Anishma type of Jew. I'll do it before I understand. When we knock out the Rasha's teeth, what do teeth do? Hakeyas Shinaf. What do teeth do? When I chew the food, what does it do? As opposed to swallowing it without chewing. It extracts the taste. It brings out the flavor. When Rabbi Nachman was a younger person, Rabbi Nachman used to swallow his food without chewing it because he didn't want the pleasure of tasting it. Later in life, he realized it was harming him. He didn't live such a long life. But a little later, he realized there's certain, you know, Rabbi Nachman moved away from his netiyah towards chumras. He was still very much a parish, very much not a person of this world. But when he was young, he wanted to just swallow something down without chewing it. By the way, that's the kavanah of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. How should we relate to the words of the sages? What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Havishosa bitsama es divrayim. Drink their words like a person who's thirsty for water. What's the chilek between drinking and eating? The difference is, do I chew or not? When the tzaddik tells me something, do I have to chew over the idea and see if I like it? Or am I prepared to just swallow it, to ingest the eitzah, the advice, and the direction of the tzaddik? When the Torah, when the ultimate tzaddik, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something, does it have to make sense to me before I get involved? So we say to the Rasha, you need to learn how to swallow things without chewing. We knock out his teeth. The Chacham is willing to what? In the words of the Sfas Emes, he's mamin va'osa achok be'emes. He performs the thing that he doesn't understand with honesty, sincerity, and faith, af b'li hargashas tam. Even though he has no idea what he's eating. It doesn't taste like anything to him. He can't begin Right? We even use that expression, to chew over an idea. Yeah? To chew over an idea means to process it. The Chacham says, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it, because that's what God wants. Av b'li argash hastam. Aval yedeza zochalida tam gam kein. But when you're willing to what? When you're willing to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasa without even a nishma, when a person is willing to just keep doing it, do the chukim with emes, with honesty and amuna, then you're able to what? Then you're able to really come to the emes of the chuk, of the chuk, to really understand the chuk. Tuv tam v'das lamdeini. You understood it. Why? Ki mitzvosecha ha'amanti. Because initially I did the mitzvos through amuna. So says the Sfas Emes, by a show of hands, how many people here like matzah? Like matzah? Show of hands if you like matzah. If you don't, it's okay. I love matzah. I'm obsessed with matzah. I'm already going crazy for matzah. I still got a long way to go. The tzaddikim, and I don't know anything about matzah. What do I know about matzah? Tzaddikim, right? They say by certain tzaddikim when they would eat the matzah, these are not diburim ba'alma. We've mentioned it in the past. The svarim bring that certain tzaddikim when they would eat the matzah, they mamish, you could see the fat of the carbon pesach dripping down their beard. You saw the shawarma juice. They were eating a plain piece of matzah. There was no carbon pesach. These were tzaddikim who lived 200 years ago. But their mamish, they said testimony on certain tzaddikim that you could mamish see that they were eating the carbon pesach. Physically see. In addition to all the, whatever, the tenuos when they were eating the matzah, you know, eyes closed, swaying back and forth. Right? So you ask the average person on the street, here, try this. We have the most delicious food you're ever going to taste. Try this. Cracker, maybe. A bad cracker. Yeah, not even a good cracker. I'll choose a saltine over this. At least it has salt. It's terrible, right? There's no taste to it. But the secret of the matzah is a person who's willing to what? A person who's willing to eat the matzah. A person who's willing to eat the matzah. By the way, what's the halacha? If you swallow matzah without chewing, yotze or not yotze? Yotze. Yotze. If you swallow mara without chewing, you need to taste the mara. Not yotze. The halacha is clear. Why would the halacha reflect that matzah can be swallowed? Of course, a normal person chooses the matzah. But why would the halacha, why does the halacha have to reflect that matzah can just be swallowed, even though it's not shayach to actually do it? Right? Because the point is, a Jew has to be able to what? To just ingest the amuna. The matzah is called in the Zohar, mechla de meham nusa, the food of faith. So when I eat the food faithfully, be'emesu v'amuna, the matzah has the most gewaldic taste in the world. But you got to believe in the matzah. You got to believe in what you're eating. You got to do it knowing this is the most tasty food, even when on the surface it's really not the most tasty food in the world. I'd rather take a well-seasoned steak than this plain, dry, bland piece of matzah. But look at the words. V'hu'atzmo gam kein achilas matzah. I'll take your question 1 second. This is also says, the Halakha Sfas Emes, the secret of achilas matzah. After he b'li tamim rak kamo shehi, it's as plain as it could possibly be. Nothing. Rak masha moneya ma'acholim acheret, kedei lios nidbak b'tama matzah. But when a person refrains from other foods, he says, I'm giving up all of the more superficial pleasures, the things that taste good on the surface. Of course, this is mamish just a mashal for all of taivas olam hazeh, for all the pleasure of this world. Achila is one of the ultimate examples that Chazal give as a mashal for all of physicality, all of pleasure in this world. So when I push aside all the other dishes, all the other foods, all the other things that are, you know, tasty on the surface, and I put my amuna, my faith in the matzah, and I eat that matzah, al yideza margish dvekus b'matzah. I come to such a deep attachment to the matzah. The tzaddikim would eat matzah and more matzah and more matzah, because they weren't eating it physically, they were eating it spiritually. When you eat physically, your stomach fills up. When you eat spiritually, you can eat till it's all gone. Even though you don't experience the taste, you don't understand what you're tasting. But if you eat it with honesty and sincerity, you understand that you're eating the food of faith. Rav Chatzko Levenstein used to say on Pesach, we don't eat matzah, we eat amuna. That's what we're eating. It's amuna. $25 a pound. Amuna. Yeah? Someone told me recently, they made a cheshbon, they said, every bite of matzah is 25 cents. That's what they said. The average bite of matzah is 25 cents. So you think about how many...
Gluten-free matzah.
You think about how many pieces of matzah... Yeah, gluten-free. Right. Yeah, Charedim. You know this brand Charedim? You've heard about this brand? It's like super thin. It was selling for $50, $60 a pound this year. It's impossible to get. It's like... Yeah, 40? Oh, you got a big discount. Okay, so it's a dollar, you know, it's a dollar a bite. You think about how many bites end up on the floor. It's like a lot of crumbs. Okay? But a person who says, I don't care, It doesn't make sense. I'm getting ripped off. It's lechem oni. I'm draining my bank account just to pay for this thing. Yeah, but I do it with emuna. And I believe that a mamish eating emuna, who wouldn't pay $50 a pound for emuna, for edible emuna? Mechazik me for the whole year. So therefore, when I eat it, even though I don't really understand what I'm tasting, you see by the tzaddikim, they knew what they were tasting. But it's only because they ate it, be'emes uva emuna. And then he says in the last line, and I'm not sure I understand this part. I'm not sure I understand anything, but this part I really don't understand. Let's try to explain. V'zeh she'amru ein maftirin v'chulu. What's he talking about? What's he quoting? What's he referencing? This is what it says in the Mishnah Psachim, ein maftirin achra, pesach afikom. So Asemis lived, he's writing this piece in 1871, so he's not talking about Karban Pesach. So let's use our version of afikom. Right. Again, the Mishnah is talking about ein maftirin achra pesach afikom. Afikom means dessert. Don't serve dessert after you eat the Karban Pesach. For us, we call our zecher to the Karban Pesach afikom. We call that last piece of matzah dessert. Right. And again, we don't serve other dessert after that dessert. Yeah. In halacha, this question, what you're allowed to drink a little water, some say maybe even tea or coffee, but really you're supposed to end the night with the taste of matzah in your mouth. Why? What's Vasemis saying here? I think he's saying, a person who believes in the matzah, right, he's not interested in any other tastes. He doesn't have to go out, he's not left hungry at the end of the meal. He doesn't feel that there are certain taivas that have yet to be satisfied. When he's davak in Hashem, like Vasemis says, through the amun in the matzah, a person comes to be nidvak b'tam matzah, he has dveikus in the matzah. He says, there's no other desserts in the world. There's no other pleasures that interest me. I have everything that I need. I'm clinging to a kuchabrichu. Right. And a person who's attached to Hashem, is not lacking anything. Not missing anything in the world. Okay, Reb David, what do you want to say?
Shouldn't somebody internalize an idea or something that's been told to them before they actually pursue it? Instead of just doing the idea?
It depends who the idea comes from. If the idea comes from flesh and blood, from a human being, you know, al tivtucho, don't trust. If it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, bitchu b'Hashem adayad, we believe in Hashem ad hasof. I don't need to, it shows a lack of trust and belief in who Hashem is to think that I need to understand Him in order to follow His directives. A person goes to a doctor, yeah? And a person, God forbid, is seriously ill. And the doctor prescribes a very serious treatment, yeah? So you have no idea, and you trust the doctor as an expert. The doctor has a reputation, right? So you may want to look into it a little bit, but at the end of the day, you're not going to decide the treatment based on your own knowledge. You're going to trust the doctor. You're achrai to find the best doctor. But once the doctor puts together your treatment, yeah, as they call it, those who go through cancer treatments, and the doctor's putting together a chemotherapy treatment, and they're preparing what they call the cocktail of all sorts of different, who knows what, crazy drugs. Yeah, so you don't question his combination of ingredients. You don't understand it the way that he understands it. You could ask him about it, you could want to understand it, but the bottom line is, I'm going to do what you said before I do any research. Because my research is that you're the best doctor. After that, I don't need to understand your psak of why this is the treatment. I'm going to do it. The same way that I don't understand how an airplane works even though I get on the airplane. And I don't understand how Advil or Tylenol works even though when I feel not well, I put it in my body. And I believe that when I push the button on my cell phone, it's going to connect me to my brother in Eretz Yisrael. So I don't have to understand it in order to... I know that someone greater than me says that this is MS, this works. And I buy in. I jump in. Right? So all the more so, Ach has become a million times over. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you something to be true, who are you to question? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I took you out of Mitzrayim. You saw revelation before your eyes. So now I'm going to ask some strange things of you. You're going to start asking questions on it now. You don't trust me. That's a terrible pagah. And it's going to become a blockage for a person. You don't trust Hashem, so you're going to start looking elsewhere. Oh, not only are you going to start looking elsewhere in terms of ideas, you're going to start looking elsewhere in terms of all sorts of pleasures and desires. When I stick with the matzah and I stick with Hashem, I'm clinging to Hashem, I'm in maftirnachar pesach afikom, I don't need anything else.
Then why aren't we doing everything Hashem told us to do if that's the case?
Okay. What do you mean? So we should do it. What do you mean?
Because we're not doing every mitzvah, every single detail that Hashem expects of us.
Why not? What do you mean?
I don't know.
Some of them don't apply to us. I mean, the mitzvahs of a Kohen are different than a Yisrael. The mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael in the times of the base of Mikdash is different than a Chutz La'aretz with Zman Hazeh. But we're obviously a good Jew is striving to do every, nekuda right, that Hashem asks of him.
But you're saying that a person, when he's told to do something, meaning from Hashem, then he should jump in to do it.
Right.
But what if they're not Meaning, shouldn't they understand what they're doing?
No.
Why not?
No. Because why should I have to understand to know that I'm doing the right thing? God told me this is the right thing.
Maybe he's going to enjoy it more, or he's
okay.
going to internalize it more.
We're not against understanding things. But the buy-in has to come before. The beginning of Torah is Nasa v'Nishma. That I do it before I understand. I jump into the water before it splits. That's how Gula takes place. Because if I question, I'm only willing to do it if I understand it, then I'm making it dependent upon my understanding. Then it's not God's mitzvah. It's my mitzvah. I'm commanding myself because this makes sense to me. We're not against understanding. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anyone to get me wrong. Right? We're very into understanding. Sefer Chinuch helps us to understand the Sharshei HaMitzvahs. Yeah, the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Temura, we should strive to understand every mitzvah. Shlomo Melech understood basically everything. Again, we mentioned the other day, got stuck on Paraduma. But we're not against understanding. But my willingness to do it is not based on my understanding. My nasa, my willingness to do, has to come before any understanding. That's a sign of Amunah and Hashem. And when I buy into Hashem and I'm clinging to Hashem, then I'll understand it infinitely better than if I try to understand it independent from Hashem.
You're saying just do it, then understand.
Just do it, yeah.
Just
like Nike. Yeah, just got to do it. Yeah?
Does the Sefer HaChinuch, admit there any hoping? I'm just curious.
We always, the Sefer HaChinuch isn't, as the Rav Soloveitchik used to explain, the Sefer HaChinuch is not giving us the reason for the mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch calls it, he doesn't call it Tameh HaMitzvahs, he calls it Misharshe HaMitzvahs. It's the Shoresh, which means every idea is rooted somewhere. We can make up our own ideas also. I'm not saying Chas Sham that he made up, ideas, but we could also come up with our own thoughts and reasons for the mitzvahs. Our own chidushei Torah. Right? The Sefer HaChinuch is giving us a shoresh, somewhere where we can, give us a kavana for the mitzvah. But he's not claiming this is the tam, this is the true reason for the mitzvah. Because ein tam l'ratzon. There's no explanation for desire. It's Hashem's desire that we do these things. We can't really explain. Ein tam l'ratzon, the Sfarim say. There's no rationale for desire. Why you like something. Hashem likes these things. That's what he likes. And he's creator. And therefore we're smart enough to have the humility, that's why we're a chacham. A real chacham is the person, what we're learning from this piece, is that the true chacham is the one who, what? Who doesn't need to understand everything. We think a chacham means, Yaakov Avinu is a chacham, but he's an ishtam. He's simple. He's wholesome. He doesn't ask so many questions. Okay? Chavra, let's do one more piece. And then we'll maybe stop for today. It's Gaval Diktoris. Amazing stuff. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso V'chulu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev HaKetz. Lasses. Okay? What is this passage from the Haggadah, if you remember? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Blessed is the one who keeps his promise to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated the Ketz, the end, to do what he had promised to Avram Avinu, that I'm going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim after they're slaves for 400 years. So Sfasem has asked some very strong and simple questions. First of all, you need to understand the following. Kodesh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKetz L'Asos. Hashem calculated the end. Now let's make sure we understand. What was the Pashat Peshat in the God? The Pashat Peshat in the God is Hashem calculated the end, comma, L'Asos, in order to do what he promised Avram Avinu. The Sfasemis is reading it, based on the way you see it's printed on the page in front of you. Baruch Shomer Avtachaso, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Chishev HaKetz L'Asos. Period. Hashem considered the end of La'asos. Hashem considered the end of doing, of Asiya. I know it sounds cryptic. Let's read inside. Perish, liyos b'chol davar ma'isa gashmi, gam kein b'chinas ha'ge'ula, shelo liyos nitba b'gashmi yasa davar. As I told you, Svasemis is all about uncovering the pnimius of something. So therefore, the Svasemis says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated how to bring an end to La'asos. What does that mean? Again, Perish, Liyos b'chol davar ma'isa gashmi, gam kein b'chinas ha'ge'ula. That every physical thing in this world should be able to experience its personal redemption. Shelo liyos nitva b'gashmias ha'davar. That things shouldn't be drowning in their own gashmias. And that's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated the end of La'asos. Hashem considered the end of the Asiya, the simplistic usage of things. What is the simplistic usage of a slice of pizza? I don't know, it tastes good. So Hashem says, I want to put an end to that type of lasos. I want pizza to be a holy thing. I don't want it to be drowning in its gashmas. I want people to be able to look at a piece of pizza as a way of strengthening their bodies to serve Hashem. Or more than that, I want people to realize that everything that a person puts in their body has nitzotzos, has holy sparks in it. And when I eat it, l'shem shemayim, every bite I take, I'm elevating a spark. Hashem says, I don't want things to get trapped in gashmis. That's Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim of everything is being trapped in its most basic, lowest usage. The avod of a Jew is to take everything and to use it in a deeper way. So instead of eating a piece of fish because it tastes good, I turn it into part of the avodah of Suda Shabbos, of Oneg Shabbos. I transform it into a higher thing. So it shouldn't be drowning in its own gashmis. How does that happen? How do we bring an end to la'asos, to the simplistic usage of things? He says, Zeham shachas ha-machshava beha-maisa. Li'yos keitz le'bechinas asiya. By attaching our mind to something, by infusing it with the intellect, or said differently, by infusing the physical object with neshama, with spirituality, that frees this thing from what? From its bechina, from its expression of asiya. It frees it again from its superficial usage. By attaching your mind, like I told you before from Rabbi Nachman, that a Jew tries to identify the seichel shebechol davar, to identify the intellectual properties of this thing. You'll say, what intellectual properties? It's a basketball. What do you mean intellectual properties? It's a basketball that was created to have a good time, to shoot a ball. No, it's a holy thing. If it exists in the world, there's something whole. It can be elevated. It can be more than just a basketball. It can be more than just a slice of pizza. It can be more than a pair of shoes. It can be something holy. To free it from its asiya, and the way I do that is what? Through mindfulness, through machshava. And what are we saying? What's the context of this line in the Haggadah? Baruch Shomer Havtachaso Li Yisrael. Baruch Hu. Praiseworthy is the one who what? Who kept his promise. So says Vasemis. Let's think about this promise for a second, yeah? Imagine someone comes to you and says, I promise you, because I love you so much, I promise you I'm going to enslave you for 400 years. It's a strange promise. Hashem, you kept your promise. Thank you so much for keeping your promise. Thank you so much for enslaving us for 400 years. Baruch Shomer Havtachaso Li Yisrael. What pasuk does it quote? Vayomer LaAvram Yodoa Teida Ki Ger Yezarachal Eretz Lo Lahem. Hashem, thank you so much for making that promise and for keeping that promise. What? I would have been much happier if Hashem canceled that promise. I don't want to go to Gullis. I don't want to be in Mitzrayim. And he didn't even keep the promise. He took us out after 210 years. What's going on here? Says this Vasemis. That's a havtacha. Call that a promise. A promise means I promise you, I care about you, I promise I'm going to do this for you. That's called a promise. And baruch shomer havtachasa. And at the moment that Hashem is expressing his greatest love for Avram, bris bein abesarim, I want to enter a covenant with you. Thank you so much, Hashem. What's in it for me? 400 years of exile. That's an expression of your love for me. It's a big yesod. Have a look inside. Achi hu havtocha gedola. The promise that Hashem made to Avram Avinu is that I'm going to teach you something that you're going to need to survive every day of your life. Shal yidei hagolas yiyeh lebnei Yisrael koach zeh limtso bechinas hapnimius bechol hester. Gaulis is a training course in identifying God in dark places. Why 400 years? You remember we explained a little bit over Purim. That the concept of Tuf, as opposed to Aleph, Aleph is the highest of the letters. Tuf is the lowest of the letters. 400. So to speak, the bottom of the barrel. Right? The 400 years of Mitzrayim, which are actually 210 years, Hashem is saying Tuf means Mitzrayim is going to be a place of complete concealment. Feeling trapped, feeling concealed, not being able to see. But you know what you're going to come out of from there? You're going to learn how to see in the dark. The mitzvah are experiencing choshech. Uvechol b'nei Yisrael, or b'moshe v'osim, the Jews were in the light. I'm going to teach you how to see in the dark. And guess what? That's going to happen a lot in your life. You're going to have dark moments. You need to learn how to see properly. You need to learn how to see through that. That's a big promise. It's a big gift. You have to train for it. You have to go to Mitzrayim to acquire that gift. But don't think that's not a good thing. It's an expression of my love for you. I'm training you how to become the people that will defy all the laws of history. How did Klal Yisrael survive? Can anyone explain that? Doesn't make sense. Much greater world powers are long gone. What gave us the strength? What gave us the vision? The answer is, it's right. And he says, that's why it's called Gullus, he writes in brackets, V'zeshenikra Gullus, al shem la'or his galus hapnimis b'toch Esther. He says, you know what galus means? Galus means what? His galus, revelation. Galus means revelation. Galus is Esther. Galus is concealment. No, galus teaches you how to reveal things that are beneath the surface. Galus is a lashon of his galus, he says, to uncover the pnimius within everything. And that's what Hashem says to Abraham, Yadoa teida v'chulu, Yadoa teida ki ger yazaracha v'eretz lo'lehem. Yadoa teida, you know what Yadoa teida means? What's das? Das means what? Adam knew his wife. Das means attachment. Yadoa teida. Avram Avinu. I'm telling you, it's going to be a rough run in Mitzrayim, but Yadoa teida, well, look at the dveikus that you're going to have in Hashem through that experience. Yadoa teida ki hayad nitzrach l'zeh. Through that difficulty, you're going to learn literally how to see in the dark. You're going to learn how to legalos from a place called galus. And again, remember the context of this in the Haggadah. When they came to destroy us in every generation, how does a Jew pick up his head and have the clarity and the vision to push forward? And the answer is, ki avtocha nizkal el. That we trained in Mitzrayim for every single generation, again, globally, collectively, and individually. Shekola Hester, look at this line, underline it. Shekola Hester, Mosif Od Chizik Be'es HaGa'ula. Every bit of difficulty, every bit of darkness in your life will be transformed into light. Every bit of suffering will be an additional element, a layer of Chizuk, when the Ga'ula comes. What a Gevaldic thing. The longer you stay in Mitzrayim, the more presence, the more possessions you take out of Mitzrayim. The more you suffer, the more you grow. It's paradoxical, but that's reality. The Zohar says there is no light in this world except for the light that comes out of darkness. So the Zohar says, Leis Nahora, there's literally no light, there's no illumination, except that which comes out of what? Which comes out of the darkness. And therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I promise you, you're going to suffer. That means I promise you that we're going to get big rewards. V'zeh shekasav HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. What does it mean matzileinu miyadam? K'mo shekasav rabos ra'ot tzadik u'mikulam yatzileinu Hashem u'perish ayin bezar kadosh ki hu milashon v'yatzel miknei avichem. V'yatzel means to take away. Matzileinu miyadam doesn't just mean that God saved us, hatzalah, but it also means that what? That matzileinu miyadam. We took away so much from that experience. Klai Yisrael didn't suffer in vain. When we left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled the promise to Abraham Avinu, which is what? Shemin HaMeitzar, Nifrash Od, Koach, HaNitos HaKadosh, K'mo Shenemar, Yatsu, B'ruchosh Gadol. That the Jewish people went out with what? With tremendous possessions, with tremendous treasures. That their willingness to go there, Matzileinu, doesn't just mean He saved us. But it's like the Pasuk, Vayatzel Miknei Avicha. That He took away. Right? The Pasuk by... Pasuk by Lava, that his sheep were taken away. Matzileinu means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away. What was the takeaway from Mitzrayim? The takeaway from Mitzrayim is that what? You learned how to reveal legalot, to have revelation from a place called galus, to have clarity from an experience of Hester. And that's Baruch Shomer Avtachasa. Thank you, Hashem, for teaching us that even when we're holding by Tuf, we're holding on level 400, so to speak, Aleph through Tuf, the lowest of the letters, when we're in a place called Mitzrayim, and we're surrounded, we feel the Meitzah, we feel trapped, but afal picha, and I can still see your yad in all of this. And I know that when I get out of this, every bit of suffering is going to be mosif chizuk beis hagula. Okay? So three amazing Torahs today from the Sfas Emes. Not pashut stuff. But really, if you can... they're not the types of Torahs you can say over to someone just like, avegalachas, you know? Someone's asking, what'd you learn today? It's going to be hard to... But if you sit down, you try to learn it over again. I always find, when you learn Sfas Emes, you always see new things. It's not written in such a way that like there's only one interpretation. There's many ways to understand each word that he's saying, and it's a schus for us in Tav Shinayin Ches to still learn the words of the Heilige Sfas Emes. Left this world 115 years ago. Okay, shkoyach. Stop here.